As the years slip through our fingers as grains of sand through an hourglass, let us share the memories of the famous year 1958-59. As our echoes wane away, may this record help keep St. Louis Park Senior High close to your hearts. Let's look back now on Minnesota's centennial year, 1958. Our football team with Coach Holmberg and Captain Jerry Jones fought hard during our first 3 months of school. They racked up a 7-win, 2-loss record to place Park second in the Lake Conference. Remember the Park Minnetonka game when the marching band presented a halftime show saluting the centennial of our great state, Minnesota?
The St. Louis Park High School Band, under the direction of Mervyn N. Lightning, presents Minnesota Hail to Thee.
Scalp, Mohawks yelp. That was the cry of our homecoming, November 10th. To the sophomores, it was their first homecoming game and dance. To the seniors, it was their first coronation. Many a happy tear was shed when Donna Peterson was crowned by our student council president, Vern Strand, to reign as queen of our 1958 homecoming.
Body, I crown thee Queen Donna of St. Louis Park Homecoming, 1958.
I just want to thank you all so very much for making this great honor possible to me. And I'll try so very hard to be worthy of it.
Teenage driving, a very controversial topic in the Minnesota State Legislature, was the theme of our 1958-59 Youth Conference. Mr. Forrest Lowry of the Minneapolis Safety Council showed us the importance of safe driving in his keynote address.
We can compare the traffic toll with man's ultimate insanity, war, and we find that in the 50-some-odd years of the automobile's history, drivers of automobiles have killed more people than all the wars in this country's history.
Intrigued by the smell of grease paint, the seniors tried their hand at theatrics. The results of their hard labor was called The Matchmaker. Do you remember when Cornelius, played by Dick Olson, and Barnaby, played by Denny Doherty, decided to be men of the world and leave Yonkers for New York?
And we're going to be in danger. And we're going to get almost arrested. And we're going to spend all our money.
Holy kaboodles!
And one more thing. We're not coming back to Yonkers until we've kissed the girl.
Kissed the girl? Oh. Cornelius, you can't do that. You don't know any girls.
Well, I'm 33 and I gotta begin sometime.
Yeah.
As the year 1959 was born, mankind decided to advertise it to the stars by sending the satellites into outer space. Russia's Sputnik 1 was first to make the headlines. Then the United States launched Explorer No. 2 into space. Sputnik the 2nd was soon to follow with its canine passenger, Laika.
Now this is Sputnik 1. Now Sputnik 1 was a fairly simple satellite without too many instruments. So it's almost a steady beeping tone. This is Sputnik 1. This is This is Sputnik 2. I realize you can't detect it without the proper instruments, but somewhere mixed in there is a heartbeat of the dog. The third one you hear will be that of our own Explorer 2.
Many students, parents, and teachers were roused by the advances the Soviet Union had made in the field of science. President Eisenhower, in his State of the Union address, gave the issue added importance by stating his views on the subject.
This is a quote from the President's speech of November 11, 1957. The Soviet Union now has, in its combined category of scientists and engineers, a greater number than the United States, and has been producing graduates in this field at a much faster rate. Recent studies of the educational standard of the Soviet Union show that this quantity can no longer be offset by a lack of quality.
Quoting the president was Mr. Borzon, who presented a lyceum on space travel that opened the door of opportunity unlimited to us. His own closing words were,
5, 10, 15 years from now, you people will be the scientists, the engineers, the teachers, the technicians of tomorrow. The future of the world is in your hands.
A real challenge to you, tomorrow's citizens. Presently, however, the student body was contributing its singers, dancers, comedians, writers, producers, choreographers, and stagehands to entertain us in the greatest variety show of 1958. Va-va-va-voom. Dancing their way into our hearts, the Parkettes, under the direction of their choreographer, Mrs. Libby, brightened the atmosphere of many a park production. We'll never forget the sparkle of their red sequins and bright eyes under a spotlight. The final curtain of Va-va-va-voom wasn't final for us at all. Our swimming team, under the leadership of Coach Wainio and tri-captain Steve Quaid, Bob Wattaja, and John Hunsinger, set many new records in our pool and all over the state. The sound of the first gun re-echoed throughout the season as the team became District 18 champions and placed Park third in the state. Do you remember that first meet? Holly wreaths, candy canes, mistletoe, snowflakes, and evergreens are all conventional signs of the Christmas season. But at Park, Christmas isn't officially here until the annual Glee Club concert directed by Mr. Griebenow. Or the senior chorus, as the voices ring through the clear, starry night. As basketball entered onto the scene, the cheerleaders had a chance to lead us in the yell that couldn't be outdone by any other Lake Conference school. four-packed men of our basketball team, coached by Lloyd Holm, presented their most exciting game against Minnetonka. With 1 second to play, we were behind by 1 point. Let's listen to that last second. That 1 second loss didn't squelch our spirits, for we went on to play second in District 18. Each assembly and gathering was ended with those solemn words.
Seniors first.